You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. This is our first episode of the Retail Roundup at the beginning of January 2026. I just think it's 2020 all over again. I can't believe we're already at 2026. Time has been flying by. I am Glenn DeGeek, founder of the Horse Radio Network, host of Horses in the Morning, the daily podcast. We are now in our 16th year of that show, hitting 4,000 episodes this year. So we're excited about that. And welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. It's your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join panel discussions like we have today, webinars. We have individual guests on sometimes. And we're talking about all things retail and wholesale in the horse world. We share our information and have conversation over on the Retail Roundup Facebook group. And if you haven't joined that, search for that. Just search for Retail Roundup on Facebook and we'd be happy to have you over there. Today, we kick off the new year. We brought together a few of our WESA partners to chat about what's ahead in 2026, the changes and impact shaping the industry. There's nothing going on in the world right now that's affecting us. And we also are going to be talking about what's next to help you prepare for the WESA Trade Show coming up in a few weeks, believe it or not. So let's meet our guest today, Pascal Sylvan. She is founder. Okay, Pascal, say the name of your company for me because I mess up all company names.
It's okay. It's called the Bijou Fab. It's in French, so no offense.
Yeah, but my last name is Hébert. I should get that right, right? So, I mean, I'm Canadian-French. I should have that right. But you're also an exhibitor. You're a former barrel racer. And tell us about your company and what you do.
So I'm the owner of the Bijou Fab. We are established in Texas. We hand string everything that you can be able to get at WESA. We have a team of 14 women that help us to make this possible. We work with Real Turquoise, Sterling, and we're going to have a booth again for almost 4 years. It's our fourth years, I think, at WESA this year.
Obviously jewelry we're talking about here, right?
Yes, necklaces, earrings. Sorry, sometimes my English.
No, that's okay. And you have a beautiful backdrop. You win that award today for over all of us, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I'm all of that glory.
So, all right. So you're coming to us from the manufacturer point of view today. And then we have Stevie Cummins, who is returning here. And she's a past guest, and she's representing the store owners today. Stevie, what store? Remind everybody.
Jewel of the West in Hill City, South Dakota. We're a little tourist town about 10 miles from Mount Rushmore.
And it's warm and sunny there today, right?
Actually, it is for here.
Really?
Yeah. Believe it or not, it's supposed to be up around 50 today.
And then we have Nicole James on with us. She's one of my favorite past guests. We talk a lot of times, and she is going to be here talking to us from the social media strategist side of things. And Nicole, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, I own a marketing agency called Zona Girl Nava. It's strictly just social media marketing. And so my team and I, we help a lot of Western brands and a lot of Western boutique owners. And we just help them from the beginning to end on social media. And then I co-own a business called Western Life and Style. And so we have a showroom on the cash and carry floor at Dallas Market as well.
A very busy showroom at the Dallas Market.
Yes.
I went to see you a couple times, but you were always busy last time. So we have to meet this time, all right?
Yes.
I'm glad you were busy. That's good. That's a good thing. So I want to talk about 2026 today. And let's start at the beginning of the food chain, and that would be with the manufacturer. We'll go to Pascal here. What feels different for 2026? What are we've all probably done our business planning, or at least should have by now, right? And taken a look at what maybe our goals are for 2026, but we're also having to adjust to a very weird environment that I don't think any of us has quite been in this environment before. So where are you at? What are you looking at this year? Pascal, we'll start with you.
So especially for us, we work with silver. And if you don't know, silver tripled the price since the beginning of last year. So for us, it's a big adjustment, and we're still figuring out what we're going to do, what we're going to offer to our customer, and go with what our retailer tell us sell or not sell. But for sure, this is a big change for us, but we still stay strong with offering a large variety of different items, different price range, and go from there.
How are your sales for wholesale for holidays?
I would say actually my store side was actually pretty solid. I was actually surprised. December was one of our best months. Oh, but good. For sure, January, we get very ready because it's our biggest month of the year. So people restart their year, restart their like their season. They plan for the whole year. So we very have to plan a lot ahead because, again, we hamstring everything by hand. Like, it takes a lot of time. We have so many team member. So we've been planning Waza for a couple of months, but I still don't feel ready.
Nobody ever feels ready. By the time you walk in the door, you're still not ready.
I don't
care if you're a buyer or a seller. That doesn't matter. So were you affected by the tariffs at all, or is all your stuff United States?
Yes and no. One thing I did, and once a year I go to Arizona and I buy like a huge quantity of turquoise, like almost for my entire year, which it's in February. So I'm going to be affected, I think, more this year because, yes, there's a lot of turquoise in America, but there's a lot of turquoise that come from all around the world. And in the beads shape form, it's harder to find American made. So that's where we're going to get affected by this. So
will you be able to eat some of that cost, or will you pass it on?
We ate some of it and some we add in the price, depending which one, different company. We did half and half, I would say.
Okay. Stevie, let's go now to the retailer side and then we'll go to marketing last because I'm kind of doing the order of events here, right? So how was your holiday?
It was really good. Our town, our community has Hill City Girlfriends Weekend in November and it was record-breaking, phenomenal, wow. Like blew us out of the water. Nothing even close, like three times. It was very exciting. And that really set us up for keeping that momentum going. I lost my voice because I got so run down back in November and I haven't gotten it back. So I apologize for that. But, you know, our Christmas sales were definitely stronger than last year, the holiday sales. We still had a few slow days, but not many. Things are definitely looking up for us this year, and I'm really looking forward to the new year. You know, the tariffs affected us a little too, where like I had orders in and the manufacturer, a lot of them ate the increase, but a lot of them passed it on to us. So there was some merchandise where I struggled a little bit because it made the price point higher than what it would have been. And I probably wouldn't have ordered the merchandise had I known, but I just kind of presented that in a way what didn't move. We put it out there as a bargain to our customers. Hey, this was something that was affected by the tariff, so I need to move it. I'm passing it on to you. And they got a great item where I didn't lose money and made a little bit of money, but people always love a bargain and they appreciate you passing on a sale. I am totally jazzed about 2026. It is just going to be a great year. You know, every year I do a reset and I don't officially write a business plan, but I just do a reset where I really go back through every month. You know, we're a little tourist town. We have strong traffic 5 months out of the year. And those other 7 months, you got to be creative. And so I've done things in the past, like in January last year, we did an alphabet sale and we're closed on Sundays in January. And so it works out where every day of the month, you can have a letter featured. And at the end of the month, we do a drawing for anybody that participates in our sale. Every day they participate, they get their name in the drawing. And we take things from the alphabet. It could be a brand name that starts with A. It could be an item that starts with an A. And those two things that we pick are 25% off from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. only. And it was really good. So I just revisit things like that. What went well? What should I repeat? What should I do away with? How can we make it better? And I do my schedule for the year. We do virtual shopping happy hours in the evening where people join in their PJs with a cocktail and, you know, right from home and they shop and we offer like 15% off whatever our theme is that night. And we do a guest drawing at the end. We just do a lot of fun, creative things. So I'm super jazzed because we introduced some new things last year that were really, really well received. And when that has happened to us in the past and we built upon it the next year, the results have already kind of blown themselves out of the water. So I'm really jazzed about this year.
So you won't change your buying habits for this year? Will you increase, decrease, be about the same? Are you concerned about buying too much for 2026? Sounds like you're pretty optimistic. So
I am being optimistic, but I'm also being cautious because I have really tried to work hard the last 2 years because of how tough things did get. I won't lie. I've done a lot of praying every month at my desk. And I will tell you that I've learned how maybe I should make some changes and have a mix of some high-end, one-of-a-kind things, but also a mix of some more affordable brands. And I've also tried to find the vendors that really want to partner with us and work with us. Like I have one vendor that something used to be one of our top sellers, and all of a sudden it just quit selling. I could not believe it. This vendor took the merchandise back, but didn't give me a refund. They said, we want you to pick something else out from our product offering that you think would do well with your clients. We want you to be successful. We want ourselves to be successful. And I was super impressed by that. I've also started trying to find some vendors that maybe have extra stock where you can maybe do a reorder instead of only getting what you started with. That way you can maybe order a little more conservatively and add in if necessary. I've really worked hard over the past 2 years to kind of do some of those adjustments. So I'm going to probably buy about the same because I feel like I kind of gave myself some safety net cushions to fall back on if need be.
Okay, very good. Nicole, So what are you doing different for your clients this year? Is there anything different, more of the same? What are you doubling down on?
We are actually doing a little bit of, I started this year kind of a little different of them than we did last year. Not going to lie, not going to pretend it was rainbows and butterflies for everyone. It was a struggle year and still trying to recover from the year before. But what's been really great is about summertime till now, everything's been going up. So that's been great. I've been seeing that with my brands, my boutiques, and in our showroom at Dallas Market. So I've been seeing the up and that's been exciting. One of the things that we're doing is we're staying consistent. So a lot of them would get a little discouraged and just stop posting because they're like, I'm not making sales. Nobody wants to see my stuff. They get frustrated. And I think the big thing that a lot of people don't realize with like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, if you're not getting any likes on there, that doesn't mean nobody's seeing it. So it's still marketing. So if you go look at, I feel like everybody needs to go look at their analytics and check their views. And you're going to see even if it's 10 views, 100, 1,000, somebody saw it. So those 10, 100 views, it doesn't matter if you got 0 or 1, that's marketing. Somebody saw your product. So what we're doing with everybody is making sure we're staying consistent and we are still posting no matter what. Good content, quality content, but we're still posting. A lot of them, I noticed, would kind of get frustrated and like, let's lay back. Let's only post, 2 or 3 times. But now I noticed that it's starting to reward us all that the more you post, the better off you're going to be.
Somebody, consistency, consistency, consistency. That's never changed.
It's never changed. And people need to get that out of their head, even if they're like, no, I'm so, some people get so frustrated and they're like, I don't want to see my stuff on there anymore. I need a reset. Like, no, somebody's seeing it. That's still marketing. So the more people see stuff on their brain, the more billboards they see, the more they see it, you're stuck, So it's
and helpful. If you don't post anything, I guarantee you nobody's going to see it.
Exactly. So keep
it's true. Marketing's always been that way, though. From the days when we used to advertise in newspapers or magazines, if you weren't in every magazine, you were missing out, too. Nothing's changed. It's just the vehicle's changed. That fundamental is still podcasting's the same way. I do a show that we're almost at 4,000 episodes. We've been 5 days a week for 16 years. you know, and it's the number one show because we've been 5 days a week for 16 years. You know, that it's that consistency. I look at it this way, and it's true whether you're a wholesaler or retailer, no matter who your client is, whether it's a retail store or a customer at the end user level. You're making a contract with that person that you're going to be there for them. Like Pascal, you made a contract with your retailers that you're going to get them the merchandise you promised to get them. You're going to be providing new things all the time, consistently providing new things all the time because they're counting on you for that. It's an unwritten contract that you're going to do that for them and they count on you for it. You know, that's so true. Stevie, you said that. You count on your wholesalers. You count on them to provide you what you want. In your mind, that's a contract.
Yeah,
you know, whether it is or not, it's a contract. And we have the same thing with the end user, right? From the marketing side, they're counting on those posts, whether you think they are or not. They know when they come out. In our case, the podcast episodes, they know when they come out. And if I'm late by an hour, I hear it. You know, it's just true. And a lot of that subconscious on the customer's or the end users in their mind, they're not necessarily thinking that, but when it doesn't happen, then it registers. I haven't seen this company in a while, right? I haven't seen Pascal post in a while. What's happening? They're going out of business?
Right.
The first thing you always think, right? Especially today. So let's move on. Pascal, again, from the manufacturer's point of view, how should retailers think about WESA this year? How do you think they're going to think about WESA, and how do you want them to think about WESA in the current environment?
I think it's going to be a lot of the same my customer that come regularly, and hopefully, like you said, exposing marketing and I bring new eyes to my product. And I think what's going to bring it's a lot of at least touch the product, look at it, talk to the whoever manufacturer is there and see if there is a connection we can build together. And if the story or the product fit with That's why I'm looking for WESA. It's not only just selling. Yes, I have amazing sell there, but it's also creating my connection with my people because I see them only twice a year. I don't do any other shows. I'm online a lot, but like it's fun to see them face to face. When it comes to buying, I think generally, again, people are very hopeful. Hopefully they have an amazing Christmas. They're ready to attack the year. Like, I feel like January bring you this also that, okay, new year, let's go. We attack, new plan. They know more than last year what their customer wants, what they like, the price range, the style, if I refer to my company. So I'm very excited about this, was I?
I'm curious about something in what we do, social media and content creation. We find that people, it's a commitment for somebody to subscribe to a new show, a new YouTube channel. In your mind, it's a commitment. You're committing to it, and you're always thinking, like a new podcast, you're always thinking, do I have the bandwidth to do this? Do you think that's true of retailers? Are they always looking for something new, or are some apprehensive to start a new company right now in the current environment?
I think with the current environment, people's going to look for someone that can provide, like, especially in my industry, the jewelry, it's a little bit more fast-paced than the clothing. They want something that's going to turn around quick so they can either buy more or pay the next shipping that's coming, that big cloak they order. So they're going to look for someone that's solid. They know what they're doing. They're professional. I ship every day of the week. So someone that's, I think that's what people's going to expect because we already so much in more territory that we don't know where it is going to go. But if you have someone solid in your team, you know it's going to go forward. So that's why I think vendors going to look. So maybe they're going to look for new vendors, of course, and new things. But like how they present themselves is going to be very, very important.
Stevie, when you go to WESA, when you go there, do you have a plan in mind? Do you have certain vendors that you know you have to see and then you're allowed a certain amount of time to find new? How do you approach it?
That's exactly how I do it. I set up a schedule for each day, and I always take an assistant with me. Part of their job is to make me stay on time, on schedule, because I book myself tight. I kind of get on some people's nerves, you know, where they want to show you their whole collection. I know what I love, so I'm kind of one of those. I can scan through stuff, pick what I love, write the order, and move on. But I always try to leave myself time to check out new vendors. Sometimes I just want to go get a cocktail and kind of get lost on a floor walking up and down the rows because I have a goal for my customers to always keep things fresh. And as much as I hate maybe moving away from a certain vendor for a while because you develop those relationships and you love the people, but you need to keep things fresh. And you really have to ask yourself those tough questions of what's not selling anymore. And sometimes you're shocked because some of the things that were your top sellers or brands that were your top sellers have kind of fallen by the wayside in your store. And then I may revisit that brand a year or two down the road and bring them back. But I try to bring no less than 5 to 7 new brands to my customers every 6 months. I go to...
That's a hefty goal.
It is a big goal. And so far, there's been one time I only had 4, but the other times I've had anywhere from 5 to 8. I love to keep things fresh and my customers like that. And it's bode well for our company. So I always try to leave a few hours to kind of go and to leave maybe a little padding where if something catches my eye when I'm en route to my next appointment, that I have a few minutes to stop.
And in your vertical, that's easier to do than I think if you were doing, you know, a vertical that had less products, right? You have product selection in your vertical. So that is a little easier to do than show shirts, maybe.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, right. Yes, we definitely offer a lot because we've got everything from the sterling silver and turquoise jewelry to clothes and boots and belts and handbags. And
yeah, you're covering a wider. Yeah,
we do. We have a wide array.
So Nicole, stores that are, go ahead.
Sorry, I do agree with her on that because one of the first questions we get in our showroom from pretty much everyone is what's new, you know, in our showroom, what's new? So I just know that that's exactly what everybody's looking for.
And you know, it's nice now, you know, I've been going, this will be, I think it's our 39th or 40th trade show. It's been a lot that I've done over the years. And there were periods of time where there was nothing new, that there was a real drought of new things coming to the market. And I think we all know about those times, 2008s. And then, even in the early 2000s, it was that way. Now, I think it's the exact opposite. We have a lot of things coming to the market, and there is a lot of excitement that way, where that's not been always the case. So what are retailers or even manufacturers that are going to Wes and Nicole, what should they be doing there as far as their marketing side? We always think about selling stuff, right, Pascal? You want to sell new customers and you want to sell. I don't know. One quick side note, and if you're willing to say, what percentage of your sales do you think comes from attending shows like WESA and your overall year? Is it 10%, 50%? New customer acquires, are they coming from trade shows or what percentage?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Sometimes I get confused with my English.
That's okay.
WESA, it's a big deal for us. It's a big deal because it's new. I use a lot of social media and I use a lot of education to bring people to me, like how attend WESA, how you can go to Dallas Market, stuff like that, easy peasy. But it's a big deal for us because people come from everywhere around the U.S. too, not only Texas, you know, so it's even the world, should I say. So it's a big deal. I don't know the exact number of the new, but I would say at least 20% WESA is for a year sell on wholesale.
Got it.
Okay. On top of my head. It's only 8 days. Think about it. It's big, you know.
And Nicole, what should manufacturers and retailers be doing for their social media at WESA? Because sometimes we forget about that and we're just buying stuff, right?
Yes. Well, I can't say this enough to everybody, but they need to post. So the big thing for both of the brands that I help with that are there set up when I go see them, I'm always making sure that, you know, showing off your booth, showing off your new product, showing off what's there. You never know who's going to be buying that's not there as well. So you need to make sure you're posting all that new stuff, making sure your stories are really important. A lot of people like to watch stories during WESA. Like our numbers during the WESA for stories for everybody is a lot higher than the post. So it's kind of exciting. People are wanting to see, you know, what's going on.
Well, it's quick too, right? It's fast. Yep.
Yes. So stories are like huge. I'm like, post the heck out of those stories anywhere you go. And then also for the buyer side, it's good for them to talk to their customers. They know what their customers are and they know what they're looking for. So it's good for when they're there. And if they need to, you know, circle back and come back the next day. It's funny because I've also been like, I'm a seller there as well. So I know how that goes when they're like, oh, today's just our looking day. And then the next day we're going to come back and do our buying. That's, I mean, we get that from everybody on all ends. So I'll always tell everybody from the social media side to the buying side, everybody, you know, share what you got. Should we get this blue one? Should we get this pink one? Which one do you guys want to vote for? I mean, your audience is going to interact with you regardless. So you can kind of interact. Your engagement will go up that way as well. I mean, I know you're tired and Wes is a lot. I mean, I can't even think straight by the time, you know, the night is there. So I can't imagine what all of everybody, the buyers, the brand owners are doing. But it's really important before you go to bed, make sure even if you're getting the content later that night, you don't have to post live at all. Post it that night if you have to. So then it's still going to run through the next day. But make sure you're getting something, you know, throughout the time.
So before we get on to the next topic, I wanted to, you know, just say yes to everything you said. We've done, I did Ada for years, 20 years, something like that before Wessa. And now they're in the same building, it's a little bit easier. But we always did new product shows for the podcasts and highlighting new products. Those are our most downloaded episodes every year. Horse people love new products. We're one of the very few industries that I call it a cult. We're one of the very few industries that's cult-like that they love new product. What other industry can say, I'm selling stuff and our people are so interested in new product and what's new on the market? We're unique that way. You know, I make all my other podcast buddies jealous that do kind of general podcasts because they don't have that cult following like we do. And I say that as a horse husband, okay, because that's how I got into this. So I married into it. Let's talk about mistakes. Let's start with you, Nicole. What are the biggest mistakes that retailers or manufacturers can make in social media at the beginning of this year? Consistency, obviously, we talked about that.
Yes, and when they wait. It's crazy because this is a thing I'm seeing as well is, okay, we did all the sales, right? Everybody had all their sales from November to December, holiday, making up all these sales, everybody, and they sold a lot. A big mistake I'm seeing is them saying, oh, we extended the sale to keep going. We extended, it's like dead kill there. Like, stop doing that. Like, make it more special. Let's wait and save that for, you know, the summer or something, those sales. So stop with the sales after that. I know your people think, ooh, I love the sales. No, it's going to make your items not seem rare. It's not going to make them seem special. So just stop with that. And I know that everybody is always wanting to keep, you know, on with that. I get so frustrated. I'm like, stop it. After January 1st, no more sales. Stop doing that. Another thing is they're like, let's wait to share that for like spring, or let's wait to share that for later on down the road. And that frustrates me. Like, no, somebody's going to beat you to it and somebody's going to buy those items later, or somebody's going to buy them from somewhere else, whether you're a store owner or whether you're a brand maker or owner. Post that now. Now, I'm not going to wait anymore. Let's get that marketing out. You have something new and special. Do not wait. If you want to have like a 3-day, you know, like 3-day marketing and like build up for it, that's fine. But the longer you wait, whenever you're posting that kind of stuff, it literally infuriates me. Somebody else did it, beat you to it, and it's gone.
That's right. Yeah. Because there's always going to be something in spring. There's something else in spring, okay. Right?
Don't hold on to it. Don't wait for the perfect moment. There is no perfect moment. Do it now. You never know who is going to be looking for that item now.
You know, one of the things we do in business planning, too, is talk about risk assessment. So, Pascal, what do you view as the risks for 2026 that may not have been as prevalent in previous years?
Again, I think for me personally, it's going to be the price of the cost is going up and up on the silver. And it's just been going up. So that's been, it's going to be very challenging. And we even redefined to use even more stone or verisite and less silver because it's just, again, we almost 3 to 4 times what it was last January. So for me, that's where I'm very extremely focused. And in general, I would say the risk of leaving an inventory aging too long. That's something, like she said, like I very agree about that. Don't wait, post about it. Like I'm emergency all the time kind of system for me. Like urgency would be the word actually.
Yeah, and you know, dead inventory too. We all want to think that we don't have dead inventory because we're so good at this, but we all have dead inventory. It's just true. It's whether you're a manufacturer or a retailer, that's all just there. And you know, it's letting go of it and not feeling like you failed is tough too, because there's a little bit of ego involved there. I'm a good buyer, but you know, we all have it.
It's money sitting there too, yeah. You know. So
well, yeah. From a marketing perspective, I love dead inventory because, like, whether you're a boutique owner or a brand owner, some of that stuff we can use later on and make it an entirely new line. If it hasn't been seen for a while, go ahead and save that for a bit, you know, and then relaunch it as something new, and then it's new again. So we do that a lot, and I've seen a lot of success on that.
I started, a lot of people don't know this, but I worked for a company where we started the website, and it was one of the most popular websites of the day early on. It was Tack of the Day, where we sold everybody's closeouts one item a day. And there were days we'd sell 400 Ariat shirts in one day.
My God.
Because it was all closeouts they were getting rid of anyway. They just knew they could send it to us and we'd sell them all in one day. You know, there are spaces to get rid of that and move your money over to something that's going to do better. So risk as far as the retailers this year, are you worried? Is there something, you know, we're always worried about the usual things, but is there something special for this year that you're worried about risk-wise, Stevie?
Well, like Pascal, we deal with a lot of sterling silver and turquoise. And, you know, I did a huge order of Navajo pearls because we sell tons of them. It's one of our top selling items. And I did that order last spring before the prices had gotten completely crazy. And we sold through it and I had to order another huge order and I about died. It came in more expensive than the retail prices on the few pieces that were left in my case that I had bought in like late March, early April. So that's where I'm kind of struggling is we go through so much jewelry during tourist season, but I'm scared to buy too heavy because if the price would go back down, I'm going to be sitting on a lot of very expensive merchandise that I run the risk of losing a lot of money on. We did just finish counting inventory yesterday, and we did all the jewelry yesterday. And I did.
Oh, God, that's got to be fun.
Oh, my God. It was, but oh, my God, I was like cross-eyed and brain dead by the time
I
got home.
I would think.
Yeah. But in the process, we paid attention to SKU numbers and pieces. We were like, why is this not sold? But it's been here for 3 years or whatever. So I cleaned out a whole bunch of trays of jewelry and decided to do an impromptu virtual shopping happy hour today. I've been getting complaints, which they're not mad. They just are like, why do you never put your jewelry on sale? And I tell them it's because the price keeps raising and I'm losing money. Like I sell a piece and I don't even have enough to replace it. And so this is going to be a little treat for them that I decided, you know what, this hadn't been selling. I'm going to have some cash in hand to go get some jewelry at Wesa. I always call it Wesa. So
I call it both in the same show. So and there you
go. So that is kind of my thing I'm struggling the most with right now is the jewelry side of our business, because to be honest, it's our strongest side of our business. It's normally our biggest money maker, but I'm struggling to make money on it right now. And I'm struggling to estimate how much to order. So
it's interesting because you're right. Jewelry was always the highest margin thing we had in the store. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one final thing, just final thoughts for 2026. Nicole, do you want to start there? Just whatever message you want to get out there.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm just excited for this year. Like I said, if it comes to marketing, always try to come up with something new. So like they were saying, you know, on dead inventory, don't let that discourage you. A lot of things that you can do is you can save it and then you can remarket it as an entirely new name, an entirely new thing and reuse it. So don't let that discourage you. Also, I just want to say that I'm really, really thankful for Wesa. Like you guys have no idea how much I appreciate Wesa because from Western Life and Style to Zona Girl Nava to when I'm helping some of the brands, some of the clothing lines, you know, there. It is so crucial for all of my businesses. I don't think people realize how great WESA is. So I just want to say thank you. And if you are a retailer, a wholesaler, anybody in any of the Western industry, I mean, get to know WESA, look into it, and it's going to be great for you and beneficial.
Final words. Let's go to Stevie.
I have to say, I agree. WESA is amazing. I attend market 3 times a year. I go January and August when WESA is going on with the Dallas market. And I also go in March. And January and August provide so much more value to our business just because of the depth of lines there, the opportunity presented to you to find more new brands. But I also have to say that looking at the year as a whole, I'm a person that really believes that what you think about and the words you speak out of your mouth are what come back to you. And so I just always try to manifest like an awesome outlook. And that's my favorite word is manifest, and just not give up. And not only that, but you know, when you pray, thank God for every little win. It may have been way less than what you needed or much smaller. I just feel like if I start my prayers with, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings. And you know what? You know what it's going to take to keep us alive. I'm willing to do the work. Show me the way. And I just really believe in the power of prayer and manifestation for positive things for everyone, not just my store, but for the surrounding businesses, for the vendors I buy from. I want us to all be successful.
And that's why you're popular in really a tiny location, right, where you are, but that's why you're popular.
We have fun here.
Pascal, final words?
Well, we're very excited to go to WESA. I can, with the two other ladies talking, it reminded me the first time we went there, I was so not ready, and WESA make me grow so much to be more professional. I started my mom kitchen table. I have no clue this will be what it is now. Like, literally, I don't know how many times I said, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm doing it. And I find people that back me up and help me to grow, and I now feel... WESA is where I feel seen and recognized in my industry. And for me, it means a lot because it's not something I experience a lot in my life. So WESA, for me, it's always a big deal for me. And it's fun to meet my people. They know my stories. They know where we come from. And it's just a big reunion, and also meet new people. Also, it's so much fun. It's truly, I always say that, like, if you want to go to Dallas market in the year, come to WESA, because you do both. You can still do the Dallas market experience, but the WESA on top of it, it's double your money, and you meet so much amazing people, and the networking, it's great. And I'm excited to go, but I'm not ready.
So a little trick for if you're going to WESA for the first time is all the new vendors are around the outside edges usually. That's usually the case. So if you walk around the walls of WESA, that's where you'll find the new vendors. That's been true since I've started going. But then just talk to everybody. And when I mean everybody, I mean other retailers too. You know, it's funny because we're in a business that is so people-oriented, yet it can be lonely. Mm-hmm. Every one of us is in a space where we talk to people all the time, yet there are a lot of times where we're still a private business owner, and it feels lonely. It does. And that's why I go to PodFest conferences, because, you know, those relationships I make with other podcasters have benefited me for the last 20 years. So, you know, make friends, you know, have friends in other retailers, so, you know, somebody you can bounce things off of, because this, you're still, in the end, you're running this business by yourself, usually with help of other people, but you're the one that truly cares about it, right? You're the owner. You're the one that started it. You're the one that has their life savings devoted in it. So, you know, make friends there, other retail, talk to everybody is what I try and do when I go to WESA. It's just talk to everybody I see, whether it's retailers or wholesalers or whatever. And you're going to find that everybody's there for the same reason. So it's easy to do at a location like that. So go, be profitable, have fun. And I hope to see everybody there in a couple of weeks, believe it or not. We're going to be there and doing our thing. If you haven't signed up yet to go, you can still do that. I think that's the case. I hope it's the case. Sophia will correct me if I'm wrong, but follow the website. You can check out the WESA Trade Show YouTube channel. You go to wesatradeshow.com if you do want to come and sign up. There's the WESA podcast feed that actually my wife hosts that show over there, where they're actually talking to manufacturers and getting into the backstories and all of that. We do more of the business side here at the Retail Roundup from the manufacturer, the marketing, and the retail side. I'm here almost every week. It's a little disjointed this month because we do have the trade show, but you can stay up to date. Search for Retail Roundup on the Facebook group as well. Real quickly, Pascal, what's the website?
It's the Bijou Fab. It's wholesalebijoufab.com.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sorry. And I'm not Stevie? Very good to spell my
name. Ours is jewelofthewest.com.
And Nicole?
ZonaGirlNava.com.
And I'll put links to all of these in the show notes right on today's episode as well. Thank you all. This has been a fun panel. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. And
thank
we'll
you.
See you all at WESA in a couple of weeks.